The greatest thing we can do is seek for His wisdom in all that we do. So God bless each and everyone. Trust everybody's had a good break, a good Christmas. And this is our thought today. We are looking at, Lord, teach us how to pray. If you had to give it a subtitle, it's just like a series. If you had to do it like that, would be the school of prayer. I want you to come to the school of prayer, to look to the Lord. Now, I know there's people who will think, but oh, I know how to pray. I think the more you learn how to pray, well, the first Sorry, I will just check who in the zoo there with us. Okay, that's okay. Thanks, bro. So I think the further you go as a believer, the more you see that prayer, though you taught it at Sunday school, you taught the Lord's Prayer, you taught to pray next to your bed when you're young, but you start understanding that the prayer is a deeply spiritual thing. You know, it's far easier to learn the scriptures. It's far easier to meditate upon the word. It's far easier to talk to people than it is to be really effective in prayer. So no matter where we are in the Lord, no matter how far we've gone, no matter how deep you've gone in the Lord, I do believe it's something which we need to, as we'll see, keep a teachable spirit and come as disciples all the time to say, Lord, teach us how to pray, because so much does depend upon prayer. So we do welcome everybody this evening. Everybody's just joined us there now. Anybody who's on YouTube, I'm not too sure if it's been put on YouTube. Yes, it has. Thanks, bro. So let's just open up in a word of prayer before we approach this thought. Lord Jesus, as always, how we need you and your grace as we open your word, as we look to you. We want to approach you. Father, as your disciples asked you to teach them to pray, may our hearts now just reach out to you. May we just look to you. And Father, may the deep that is inside of us that desires to commune and to speak to you better, to pray more effectively, Lord, may that deep just reach out to you now. We know, Lord, that you'll always meet a seeking heart. You'll always meet a searching soul. Father, if there's a deep inside of us for a deeper walk, for a deeper revelation, for a deeper experience, Lord, we know there's more of an experience out there that is calling us to that deep that is in you. So bless our meditations this evening, Lord. Bless me, Lord, as I speak, and more importantly, bless them that would hear. And may you guide us in our deliberation spiritually upon this night, that as we'd come to the end, Father, may we be a step closer, Lord, better equipped to serve and to worship you. We dedicate it to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. So God bless you, each and every one. Let's get straight into it, saints, as we desire this year to maybe try to shorten Bible study slightly. If we can get it to 45 minutes, I think that's the best length of time. So let's get straight into it. So our thought this evening is the school of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. And our scripture is Luke 11, verse 1. Luke 11, verse 1. This is obviously something which the disciples asked Jesus. And let's never forget that we are disciples. And I'm sure that you are like me. You just want to learn better how to pray. I think if there's one thing we could start the year with, and if we could all have the Lord to personally teach each of us to pray better, I think that so many other things will just be knocked on the head by doing that. You know, because prayer is the answer just to so many things. Luke 11, 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying, so Jesus was praying, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, I love that. I love that's really being a disciple. A disciple is someone when you see that somebody knows something better than you, which maybe is not maybe, but which would be of virtue to you, or somebody is more experienced at something than you. Somebody is used of the Lord maybe in a greater way than you. Maybe you're given to evangelism and you see somebody else that is really given and is successful. And you can see this person has been taught by the Lord more effectively in the school of evangelism. I think being a genuine disciple, you'll always should be humble to be able to come to someone and say, I can really see that the Lord is using you in this in a wonderful way. Teach me how, the lessons which the Lord has taught you in this. I think it's really, really a good thing to do that. So Jesus was praying, and when he was praying now, when he ceased, his disciples, a certain disciple came and asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. So there was something obviously about the way that Jesus prayed, which the disciples could see was different than the way that they prayed. Now they could really see it. And friends, there's something very quickening in us. There's something that really stirs you up. If you're a genuine believer and somebody prays in the Spirit, you see somebody who's really deeper in the school of prayer than you. It quickens you. It like it awakens something inside of us, inside of our soul. Somebody, hey, I just wish I could speak to the Lord like that. And I think that's a good thing. There's nothing worse than having a spirit of competition, having a spirit of jealousy, that when you see somebody else can do something more effectively in the kingdom of God, and God is using somebody, that you've grown inside of yourself, you feel grieved because of that. That's a wrong, that's the flesh. But the soul of a believer, when you hear somebody else praying in the Spirit, it does something to you. You know, if you haven't maybe learned much about prayer, you inside your soul, you'd be saying how wonderful it would be to be able to pour out your soul like that before the Lord, to be in the spirit of prayer the way that that person is. So that's what the disciples must have felt when they saw Jesus pray. Now, another thing is that secret prayer brings public power. This is one thing which you'll always find. If you find somebody, you know, the disciples must have looked at a connection. They saw the power, you know, the wondrous ministry and life that Jesus lived, you know, his fruitfulness, his effectiveness. And they knew that there was a connection between that and his prayer life. And that's going to be the same with each and every one of us. You know, the more effective you are in secret prayer, you'll find that will be reflected automatically in your public service for the Lord, in whatever that it is. And speaking to your children and speaking to people at work and preaching and being a song leader, you know, being an evangelist on the street, the public manifestation of the anointing, the presence, the grace of God, the fruitfulness of the Holy Ghost in the life of a person is almost inextricably linked, if you can use that word. You can't break that connection between prayer in secret and public power. And that's what they saw in the ministry of Jesus. They knew his power is coming from the secret life, the secret prayer life that he's living. And what did Jesus know? I just put that picture when they looked at Jesus pray. You know, and they saw, but hey, he is the master at prayer. We are the apprentices. So they wanted to enroll in the school of prayer under the master. Because Jesus says, you can become like your master. And you have a look to see then what those disciples did become. Just get into the book of Acts and see how well taught they were in the school of prayer, because they had the greatest teacher. They had the master himself teaching them. But to link power and prayer, you know, your public witness, your public usefulness for the Lord and your prayer life, Matthew 6, Jesus tells us, Matthew 6, verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. So you say, when you pray, find your secret place. Enter into your closet, might be your bedroom, your closet may be in the woods, your closet may be in your car, your closet may be walking in the fields, whatever that it is. Kneeling by a chair, kneeling by the bedside. You know, you need to find that in your life, in your situation. Might be in the morning, might be in the middle of the night, it might be at midday. Whatever's the best time, the most fruitful time, the best of your day that you can give to the Lord for this most important of things, which is prayer, Jesus told us, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. And how is he going to reward you? Yes, by the answer to your prayer. But if you're really seeking the Lord, you're going to find that when you step out of that place and you go forth in the name of the Lord, you're going to find the Lord's going to reward you publicly for the things that you've done privately. And when things are done for the kingdom of God, when the Spirit of God moves and people are brought to the Lord, or whatever it is that's done that's of benefit, of virtue, fruitfulness in the kingdom of God, Yeah, it might be seen in public, but there's a closet behind that. And the more effective that closet is used in submission and supplication and seeking the face of God in prayer, the more effective when the person comes out from the closet, they're going to be in the hands of God. And that's what the disciples straight away saw in the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of all of the characteristics, you could say, in a Christian life, a Christ-like life. We want to speak on the spirit of intercession a little bit here before we get on to the disciples asking Jesus to pray. But if you have a look at a characteristic, you know, out of all of the characteristics you could have in a Christian life, you're going to find there's no higher characteristic, no more like virtuous or glorious maybe characteristic than when a believer can be Christ-like in prayer. It's wonderful to be Christ-like in speech, wonderful to be Christ-like in your daily walk. But if we could be more Christ-like, learn from him better, be more conformed, be more like Jesus in our prayer life, my, how wonderful that would be. Because Jesus, that great characteristic of him is Jesus has the spirit of intercession. And as we go on as believers, as you grow more like the Lord, as you get closer to the Lord, you will always find the closer you get to the Lord, the more you get in the spirit, the more you come out of the realm of flesh, and the more that you get into the spirit, you're going to find it's going to manifest itself in the spirit of intercession more and more. Now, if we have a look at Jesus, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24, speaking about Jesus, now, where is Jesus now? What is Jesus doing now? We will have a look just now to see when Jesus prayed on earth, but what is he doing now? Hebrews 7, 24, but this man, Jesus, because he continueth ever, he lives forever now, hath an unchangeable priesthood. So what is he now? He's the great high priest. He has an unchangeable priesthood. He's entered fully into the priesthood. Verse 25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he liveth to make intercession for them. So what is Jesus doing now, friends? What has he been doing this last 2,000 years? You know, when he had such a powerful prayer life in the days of his flesh, then he died for us, he rose from the dead, he ascended up on high, and he's gone into the tabernacle not made with hands, Paul says. What is he? He has the Melchizedek priesthood. Yeah. He makes intercession. He's ever living to make intercession. So if you and I went now to where Jesus is, if we could go into that place where, you know, the very person of Jesus is, if you could enter within that veil, what would be the spirit that is prevailing? What would be the spirit in that place would be the spirit of intercession. So the closer we get to the Lord now, closer and closer in image to him, more and more in harmony with him, more and more in line with his spirit, what is going to be the result? You are going to get more and more in the spirit of intercession because you're becoming more and more Christ-like. You are now conforming to what is being done in heaven is now being done on earth because he now is given to intercession. His prayers began on earth, but they never finished at his ascension. He now entered into his future work through the seven church ages as the great high priest ever living to make intercession upon our transgressions. And if you really think of that, saints, you look inside of your life. Yeah, we are not closest to the Lord when we know a lot of things. And you think of when Brother Ram says, what is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? When people have a burden for the lost, when a person groans in prayer, making intercession for the lost, that is really what the Holy Ghost does. When the seal of God is upon a person, it puts a person in the spirit of intercession. You know, so that's why I'm saying prayer. We'll get onto the principles of prayer, but you can see that prayer in many ways is the spiritual thermometer of the condition of a believer. Your prayer life. It's not how much you listen, not how much you read, not how much you can quote or say, or you know, how much of the scriptures you've Memorize those all good things in themselves. But the true indication of your spirituality at the point you are now and where I am now is reflected directly within the closet, within the veil, by your prayer life. And I think that's something we really need to sink in, friends, because it's so much easier to read than it is to pray. It's so much easier to get on WhatsApp and chat with other people or get on Zoom and have, you know, fellowship with people, which are all good things, than it is to pray. Pray is a very spiritual exercise. It's a very spiritual thing. And like we always say, that saying, you know, the praying man stops sinning and the sinning man stops praying. You know, the moment sin comes into your life, lukewarmness comes in your life, you don't stop reading your Bible. You don't stop listening to messages. What is it that stops first? Is your prayer life. That's the very first thing that starts to suffer when you find you started to get away from that presence of the Lord that you were in. So yeah, that's why we need to realize that the Spirit in heaven now, the anointing that's there is the anointing of intercession. It's the anointing of grace, the anointing of supplication. That is the anointing that is in heavenly places at this time. And the deeper we get into heavenly places, the more we should be influenced and anointed by that anointing ourselves. So while he was on earth, Jesus, we'll see it, that his trials, his temptations, everything that he went through in the days of his flesh, all those experiences, they equipped him, they qualified him, they gave him compassion, gave him feeling for his present ministry now of intercession. He makes intercession. It's a Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He has to intercede until the very last name that is on the book is sealed into the body of Christ. Then he no longer needs to intercede anymore. But as long as there's still one that's lost, we need an advocate. We need an intercessor between sinful man and a holy God. And that is Christ in his royal, in his holy priesthood, as our great high priest. I put this here, you know, we've looked at this before, but just to show that this principle holds true. Here, on the left-hand side of the picture, here's our brazen altar, and there's the priest offering the bloody sacrifice. So when you first come to the Lord, you know, when you're first coming back to the Lord, if you've been backslid, you've been away from the Lord, this is reflected in the type of prayer that you pray. This, at the brazen altar, the first place you come to when you come into the tabernacle, on your way towards the Shekinah glory of God on the right-hand side within the veil, the first thing you come to is the brazen altar. So it's an altar. It's a place you're going to pray, but it's a place where you make confession of your sin. It's a place now that you confess your guilt, you confess your iniquities. You know, so you'll find that inside of your life. If you look at what is the main theme of your prayer life, is it mainly, you know, repentance and sorrow for your sins and, Lord, I'm falling short? It's nothing wrong with that. That's good, but it just shows where you are spiritually at that time. You're at the brazen altar kind of prayer. But if you keep going past the brazen laver, getting washed by the waters of the word and come within the first veil, you're walking in the light of the candlesticks, you're eating the shoal bread. You now come to the second altar, which is not a brazen altar. It's not an altar of judgment. It's a golden altar. Gold speaking of deity. You now come to the golden altar. And there it is down at the bottom, right there, where the incense is off. It's speaking of the priestly prayer life of a believer, the priestly position of a believer. Right before, under this covenant, there was a veil that was the closest place that you could get to the mercy seat, the closest place that you could get to the Shekinah glory of God was while you were in prayer, while you were offering incense. And friends, I think the Lord is really trying to tell us something there, and we can assess where we are. You know, we're somewhere in between here, you know, as believers. If you look at your prayer life, that I'm sure we'd all desire the Lord to teach us better so we can go deeper in the Lord, deeper in our prayer, coming from the brazen altar. It's always, you know, Lord, I'm sorry for this, and Lord, I'm sorry for that. Or maybe you're just praying for yourself all the time and moving to the altar of incense where you're not just praying for yourself. The majority of your incense and your prayer is being offered for others, because Jesus now is not praying at all for himself as our great high priest, but it's a spirit of intercession on behalf of us, his brethren, on behalf of the transgressors and so forth. Yeah, and you know, I always remember Brother Wilmore saying that once. It was very, very true. You know, that you'll find when you start praying for other people, your prayer life enters another dimension, because that's more like a Christ-like prayer. You're moving closer and closer to conformity to Christ. So now as we get in, I'm sure you want to be like me. Don't you want to be closer in there this year? No, for the Lord to teach us and usher us to that place that we can come right before the mercy seat and bring this incense now. And we're coming as kings and priests before the Lord to offer intercession before his presence on behalf of, yes, ourselves, yes, but on behalf of other people. And that's a real powerful place. That's speaking of the priestly standing of a believer. What does it say in Revelation 5? Under the seals. Speaking of Christ, he hath made us unto our God kings and priests. Now, so we have the two aspects in our calling. We kings, speaking of our authority, and we priests, which also speaks of authority. So we have been called, he, Christ, has made us unto God kings and priests. You see, this is these two sides, this balance that we have to keep. And here it shows a king is someone who uses the power, the authority, the influence, the blessing that he's received. He receives it from God and uses it for man. That's what a king does. So that's your authority as a believer. Somebody's in a hospital. You get in the spirit. You receive the quickening power. You receive the anointing from God. You use that dominion that's been given to you, that access that has been opened to you on behalf of your brother. Like Brother George, brother, I give you rain. Or brother, stand up and walk, whatever that it is. So that's your kingly attribute inside of you. But you're not just kings, we're priests as well. He's made us kings and priests. So a priest now uses the access and the authority and the dominion and the anointing and the blessing that they've received from the Lord. They don't use it now for themselves, mainly, but they use it on behalf of man. So you're standing between fallen man, needful man, people that are in need of prayer, people in need of salvation, people in need of the grace of God, people in need of an answer, and the Lord has anointed you, and you take your priestly position now, and you use all that spiritual authority and blessing in heavenly places on behalf of man before God. So that's the difference now. The one is you're channeling the blessing and the anointing to man. This time you're channeling and anointing the needs of man, taking it in the anointing, and you're channeling it now before the throne of grace. So we're told in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Can you see that? It's a royal priesthood. In the Old Testament, kings, priests were not allowed to be kings. It was separate. The prophet, the priest, and the king had to be separate. But in the new covenant, we are kings and priests. We are a royal priesthood. Your royal priesthood. And putting those two things together, like we've said before, keeping that balance inside of your life. You're not just using authority all the time and instructing people all the time and as a king, but you're using the other aspect as well, the priesthood now. Now, the intercession on behalf of the very people that you are called to rule and reign over, that's a very, very powerful combination there. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. And now, if you just bear in mind this picture here of that position of this priest now, you are a priest. Here's your incense, typing the spirit of intercession, the spirit of supplication. He's got the incense in his hand here. He's standing right at the altar of incense, but he's right before the mercy seat, the closest you can get. And what is the atmosphere around the mercy seat now? We know we're in a transition. We know soon it's going to be a throne of judgment, but Paul tells us, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore, that's you and me, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. So when you come to this throne, friends, it's a place of grace. If you've got judgment in your heart, you can't come to this place and condemn people. No, it's a throne of grace when you get into this dimension. When you come into this atmosphere, and this is where Jesus is our great high priest, at the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. That's where we're going to find mercy. It's the mercy seat. And we find grace to help in time of need. Ah, friends. That's why I love it when Brother Branham, he says, when he speaks in Great Commission, and he speaks about if somebody's done you evil, you know it very well, that one. When somebody's done you evil, someone's done you bad, and you feel you want to just go and tell other people about it, and you're angry and you're disappointed, you don't understand why that person did that to you, he says, take it to God in prayer. He says, and when you pray and pray until your soul comes into the presence of God, and you stand before God, and then you say, in that atmosphere, you start speaking to the Lord about the evil that person has done for you. It says, after a while, the Lord will start speaking to you in that atmosphere of mercy, that atmosphere of grace, where the great high priest is making intercession for the transgressors. He says, you can't stand with a mortal in the presence of God and condemn anybody. You can't. You can't be in the spirit of intercession and condemn somebody. It's these two things are as far as the East is from the West. And that's a good indicator, a spiritual barometer as well. When you have a critical spirit upon you, a judgmental spirit, your tongue is lashing people all the time. You're judging everybody all the time. My friend, you are testifying. You might offer long prayers, but your prayers are these. You should be offering brazen altar prayers at that time. Because you yourself need to get yourself right with God. And that's why it says when you lose the feelings for the lost, when instead of feeling for the sinner and praying for the ungodly, instead you're criticizing them and condemning them all the time, he says you need to come back to the altar. Yeah. First, you need the brazen altar, because you can't come to the golden altar there, the altar of incense, to come and make intercession for people until first you get your life right at the brazen altar. Putting your sins and putting your trespasses and your transgressions under the blood. You know, so you can see that it's really teaching us. Like we say, you know, anybody can pray, but to really get into the spirit of prayer, the spirit of intercession, that's not just anybody who gets there at any time. You know, this is going to need the Lord to teach us and the teaching of the Holy Ghost to take us step by step. I'm glad there's many people listening here today who know exactly what I'm speaking about. You know, but it's easy to get away from that. It's easy to lose that spirit of prayer. Maybe even the prophet himself, the Lord had to come and correct him and say, stop calling them Rickies and Ricketters. Stop criticizing the people all the time. He says, they're in captivity like Israel was. You need to go and have the spirit of Christ in you, like with Moses, to set those people free. Instead of criticizing them and condemning them, we should be praying for them, not speaking against them. But it's an easy thing to do, friends. That's when we need to come back to the altar ourselves. Yeah. Come back and get back in the spirit of Christ. Let the anointing of intercession start to work. Soften us up and bring us to the place that we have a burden. And friends, if you get out there in the street and you don't have a burden for the people, it's not going to do those people or yourself any good. It's like getting in the pulpit. If you don't have a burden for the people, friends, you just do a lot of damage, because the word is sharp and the word can be hard and the word can be cutting. You can be like Moses and say, when he lost the feelings of the people, you rebels, and you smite the rock and stuff like that. You know, we don't really want to be like that. That's why prayer is such an important thing. We need to come back to the Lord on a regular basis to say, Lord, I want to just enroll once again this semester in the school of prayer, that you may take me deeper and take me further. And teach me how to pray. I'm sure you would desire that, friends. So you can't stand with a mortal in the presence of God and condemn anybody. You can't. I mean, when you're condemning people, it shows you're not in the spirit of Christ. You're not. Remember John, when he came, young John, and he came saying, Lord, they didn't want to give us food, the Samaritans. Let us call fire from heaven and consume them. Yeah, like Elijah did. And Jesus rebuked him and says, you do not know what spirit you are. If you're not in the right spirit. The Son of Man didn't come, yeah, to take lives. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy people's lives. He came to save them. Oh, friends, that's why I really desire to come to the Lord myself at the beginning of this year in the school of prayer and say, Lord, teach me afresh to pray. Take me deeper, take me further. You know, let me not pick up bad habits and perpetuate them, but let me come and learn from you because you are the master. You are the one that can really teach us how to pray. It's an important, important thing. And you'll find, saints, intercession and revival. We're speaking of revival in November, December. There. Go and read the Welsh Revival. Go and read the Azusa Street Revival. Go and read any of those revivals. Every one of those revivals started in prayer. And when the revival started and the Holy Ghost fell among the people, it gave them such a spirit of intercession. People were so prayerful, not praying for themselves, not praying for a bigger car or a bigger house like we find the modern day version is, but they were praying for the lost, praying for their relatives, praying for their children and so forth. The spirit of intercession, because heaven had come down and the very atmosphere of heaven, the same atmosphere that Jesus is in now making intercession, heaven opens and comes down in time of revival, and you find people's souls are bathing now in the spirit of heaven, that same spirit of grace and supplication. It always happens like that. Revival, whenever revival takes place, intercession starts again inside of the church. But when the spirit of revival is not there, you find there's not so much interest. You'll find it with individuals, yes. It's wonderful to see. I know saints right now have a real spirit of intercession upon them. And it's such a blessing. And may the Lord bless them and strengthen them and continue to quicken them in that ministry. Because Satan's going to try to discourage them in every way that they can. Because that closet ministry like that, that ministry of intercession, friends, it's one of the most powerful things. It's so important to the church. And if even just a handful of people team together and make a covenant of prayer to say, let's encourage one another, let's make a covenant of prayer, you'll find that when we get to church on a Sunday morning, I've seen it so many times, you get to church on a Sunday morning and there's a difference from the beginning of the service because somebody's been wrestling in heavenly places. Somebody's been offering prayer in heavenly places for make an intercession for the saints, make an intercession for them that will be coming to the service. So that's a really, really important thing, intercession and revival. What does it say in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10? This is speaking about when the great revival, Moses and Elijah, when the Holy Ghost visits the 144,000, when the Jews come in and the Holy Ghost pours upon them. He says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. You will find how much they're going to, first they'll come to the brazen altar and they'll say, where did you get those wounds? And those Jews will be repenting and then the Lord will give them the spirit of supplication. Friends, the spirit of supplication, when God anoints somebody to come before him to plead on behalf of other people, to plead the promises of God right before the throne of mercy and the throne of grace, that is such a powerful thing. And may the Lord multiply it as we go into this year. It always comes together. What do we want to do, saints? We want to pray as he prayed. Yeah. That's how we need to come to him. As we get on to our thought before we finish off, we just wanted to give a bit of an introduction this evening. You know, so they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. So the very first thing they said, Lord, who did they ask to teach them to pray? They came to the master. They came to the one. They saw how he prayed. They saw how effective, how effectual his prayer was. They saw how fervent his prayer was. Now, they saw just in day-to-day ministry, they saw the effects of his prayer life manifesting itself. They saw it by the spirit that he was in. They saw it by the wisdom that he had, by the decisions that he made. They saw it, they saw, wow. And they said, okay, Lord, please. They never, ever asked Jesus to teach them how to preach. You never find that. They never asked Jesus to teach them anything else like that. Now, those things they picked up, yeah, and they learned by his example, but they had to come to Jesus to say, Lord, please, teach us to pray. We want to pray the way that you pray. How is it that you can pray the way that you pray? Oh, friends. Now, let's just think about this. So we're coming to the Lord. Who are we going to ask to teach us to pray. If you're asking me, maybe I'm not a very good teacher to teach you to pray. If I ask you, maybe you're not so good. I'll do my best. But friends, they didn't come to a man to ask him to teach them. They came to the master. They came to Jesus. And if you want to learn to pray as a disciple of Christ at the beginning of this year, you need to ask the Lord yourself. You need to come with a seeking heart, the heart of a disciple, to say, Jesus, you teach me how to pray, please. I'm your disciple now, just as much as Peter and James and John were disciples back then. You taught them how to pray. You are no respecter of persons. You have no favoritism. Lord, teach me to pray the way that you taught them how to pray. So we want to ask him. We want to come to him to say, if you really want to learn how to pray, the best one to ask is him. You need to seek him and say, Lord, please teach me how to pray. Because there's no one who can pray like Jesus and there's no one who can teach like Jesus. So, you know, if you want to learn how to pray, you're coming to the best resource that you'll ever find is you come to him. You want him to teach you how to pray. Now let's think of the master, the teacher himself, Jesus. Lord, teach us how to pray. Let's think of his qualifications and his credentials. He's our great high priest. If we asked Jesus personally to teach us, remember in the church age book, Brother Ram says that it says it takes the teaching of the Spirit, otherwise spiritual things will never be clear. We need the personal instruction, the personal leading and teaching of the Holy Ghost. So if you want to learn how to pray, you need to get on your knees first, especially you young people. Now, it's good for others to help you. We must help each other. It's Christ in one another to help one another. But the real one you need to ask to teach you, you need to get on your knees and say, please, Jesus, I want you to teach me how to pray. And how are you going to learn to pray? We're going to look at principles this week and next week and maybe the week after, which are good spiritual principles that Jesus used in teaching people how to pray. But friends, the best way to learn to pray is to pray. The more you pray, the more you learn how to pray. We'll see it as we go along. Yeah, it's good to learn, you know, find the scriptures and find the promises and find the principles, but it's learning by doing. When I was in Zimbabwe, I was subcontract to a British company, Development in Practice, and they were a very good company. I used to do a lot of work for them. And their motto was learning by doing. And I liked that. I said, yes, that's the right way to teach people. You teach somebody and then let them put it straight away into practice. Now, so if you really want to learn how to pray, especially you young people, to learn how to pray more effectively, to pray more in the Spirit, the principles we'll look at, go and put them into practice. It doesn't have to start long. It's like exercise, friends. It's really good to look at all of the videos on YouTube about how to lose your belly, you know, how to lose your Christmas blubber and all of that. But it's good to watch all those guys telling you do so many squats and do so many sit-ups and run so far or swim so far and get on your bike so much, which are all good things to do. But it doesn't help you at all until you get on your bike and you start sweating it out. And it's going to look very easy when you watch it at first on that YouTube. But when you get on your bike or you take that first jog, you're going to find, hey, this isn't as easy as it looked on the video. But if you persevere, you can be like your teacher. You see, it's exactly the same principle in prayer. And the Holy Ghost is going to encourage you in prayer because he wants to teach you to pray. Because you're his disciple, he wants you to come and ask him things. He wants you to come before the throne of grace boldly, make intercession and bring your petitions and pour out your heart. He wants to invite us to come boldly to the throne of grace. So if your heart is right and you're asking the Lord, then start praying. It's good to pray with other people as well. I think the brothers, the saints are going again Friday night for all night prayer. It's good. Get down there with the saints if you want to learn to pray. Just as much as these disciples, they saw someone who was really in the spirit of prayer and said, Master, teach us how to pray. It's good to go with other people that are qualified and skilled in this great spiritual art of prayer. Go and pray with them and learn from them, even learn by doing. Get on your knees. When they pray, you can see they bring an atmosphere down. They bring the anointing down in the church. You enter into that anointing. It'll quicken you and your prayer as well. You might just pray a short little prayer at first. Fine. When you start your exercise, you can't even run from one lamppost to another just about. But if you persevere, you keep going, especially with people that encourage you to persevere, you will find yourself being taught by the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit, and led by the Spirit to pray. But to pray powerfully, you've got to pray much. There's no shortcut to this. If you really want to have the spirit of intercession, you need to spend time with the Lord in the closet. You need to shut that door and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father will reward you openly. Now, there's no shortcuts to this. It's like there's no shortcuts to exercise. There's no shortcuts. Yeah, I mean, if you've eaten too much turkey, like we said at Christmas, it's okay, eat as much as you want at Christmas, but hey, you're going to have to do the exercise after Christmas. And when you backslide and you get in the flesh spiritually, we've got to come back on our knees and we've got to pray and pass the brazen altar. Take me past the outer court as we sing the song, you know, pass it into the holy place, past the brazen altar. And then we want to come right to the incense altar, offering our prayer, come and bring our incense right within the veil, right to the throne of grace and mercy, where we are anointed by the Spirit of Christ, led and guided of him to make intercession the way he makes intercession. It's the greatest blessing. I think it's almost the highest calling to a believer is that priestly calling of intercession. May the Lord stir us up to that. So we coming to the Lord, you want him to teach us. He is the great intercessor. Who better can we come to learn how to pray? And he was a man. He was born. He had to learn how to pray. Jesus didn't know how to pray just straight away when he was a four-year-old boy. He had to be tempted in all ways like unto us. He had to grow. He had to grow. The Bible says that he grew in stature and wisdom. He had to grow like us. He had to learn obedience by the things that he went through, the things that he suffered. So he had to learn how to pray. Friends, so who better to come to Jesus? He who is God, but was also a man. He who had days and nights of prayer. He knew what it was to pray through in the wilderness and pray through in Gethsemane. He knew what it was to be discouraged and to be downhearted and to pray in those kind of situations. Who better than him for us to come to say, Lord, please teach me how to pray. Now, how is he going to teach us to pray if you ask him? Firstly, by the teaching of the word. That's wonderful. Yeah, that's important. We need to come to the book of prayer, the Bible, and we need to find the spiritual principles of prayer inside of there. And we learn it from there. Say, Lord, instruct me from your word. Then secondly, to learn how to pray, we use the example and the testimonies of others. So like I'm saying, there's people that you know, that I know, God puts people around us who know how to pray in the spirit, that have been long in the school of prayer. If you really want to learn to pray, ask to pray with them. Speak to them and pray with them. It'll help you ever so much. And what about looking at the testimony of others in the Bible? We can go and have a look at how Elijah prayed, a man of like passions like unto us. And he prayed earnestly 7 times and then came a cloud the size of a man's hand. We can go and see Nehemiah's prayer. We can go and see the prayer of Daniel. We're going to find principles in their prayer that the Lord put in the word for them to be our examples. These things were written for us to learn thereby. And we can start getting in the spirit of prayer and supplication by getting into the spirit of the word, getting being quickened and inspired and learning from the example of others in the scriptures, and also from living epistles that are around us, but teaming up with others so that we can pray together and get deeper and deeper in the school of prayer. But friends, above it all, such a spiritual something as genuine intercessory prayer, effectual fervent prayer, as James says in the Bible, it needs the personal teaching, the personal influence, the personal interaction of the Spirit inside of your life. You're going to need the Holy Ghost to teach you. You know, we can speak of principles, we can encourage one another, point each other in the right way, but it's the Spirit himself who has to teach us to pray. John says that in 1 John, as we'd come to a close, 1 John 2, verse 27, he says, but the anointing that you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things. That's wonderful. So the greatest teacher to teach you how to pray is you get on your knees with an open heart, putting your sins under the blood, and you look to the Lord and you pray and say, Lord, teach me how to pray. And there's going to be certain things he's going to quicken, certain things he's going to bless. And there's going to be certain ways you'll pray, certain ways you'll approach things he's not going to bless. And the anointing and the teaching, the personal unction of the Holy Ghost inside of your life, the Spirit of Christ, the great intercessor, he's the greatest one that's going to teach you how to pray. That's why they came to him and said, Lord, will you please teach us how to pray? So they said, Lord, then they said, teach us to pray. You know, we are the ones that need to pray. Why? Because the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities and helps our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I mean, we're born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We come into this world dark and alienated from God. We don't know spiritual things. We're going to need the Holy Ghost to teach us the right approach, to give us the right inspiration, to give us the right words, to give us the right burden, to lead us in our prayer. And that's something which will start simply like a baby starting to walk and then starting to toddle and then starting to walk more strongly and then starting to run. Yeah, and that's how it's going to be. We're going to walk with him in the school of prayer. May he take us step by step and take us by the Spirit to pray as we ought to pray. That's really our desire. Every single one of us, friends, we all feel the need to be taught to pray. I mean, every single one of us, no matter how long you've been in the Lord, we all need him to teach us how to pray. And especially when you look back at the examples of Moses' intercession in Mount Sinai and the prayers of Jesus, the prayers in the book of Acts and so forth, prayers that shook the building and prayers that opened prison doors for Peter. You know, you really feel inside yourself, yes, Lord, I still have a lot to learn in the school of prayer. You know, take me further, take me deeper. I'm surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Won't you please teach me? Now, friends, anyone can pray. But we need to be taught how to offer, James, we'll see it next time, said we need to offer fervent, effectual, effective prayer. For prayer to be effective, for prayer to have power with God, like with Jacob, to be prevailed with God and with man. We really, really need a certain type of prayer to do that. And as we'd finish off, effectual prayer, five things that we need in our prayer, as we'll learn. First, all effectual prayer must be, firstly, to the glory and honor of God. You must desire to approach him for his glory. What you're asking him, the answers you're seeking should be for his glory. You want to say, Father, I want to pray this for your glory. You glorify your name. Lord, our brother, your son Pele is in hospital now. He's going through all these scans and they're saying this and that. Lord, we desire for your glory, that you'll visit him there and bring him out. He said, must be for the glory of God. When selfishness comes into prayer, the Holy Ghost leaves your prayer. It'll never be an effective prayer. You might have a lot of emotion in your prayer, but it won't be an effectual prayer if it's not asked and offered for the glory and honor of God. Secondly, effectual prayer must be in full surrender to his will. No, you're not trying to tell God what to do. You're not trying to change God's mind. That's not effectual prayer. The prophet says prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes us. And as you pray, it brings you more submissive to his will. Then the Holy Ghost starts to reveal what is pleasing to the Lord. And now you come with that and you make your covenant claim before the throne of grace, because the prophet says that again. He says, whatever his Spirit will lead you to believe, that's yours. And so he's leading you to pray according to the will of God. That's what we want. We need our wills out the way. Our wills are the enemy to intercessory prayer. We want it for his glory. We want to be surrendered. Must be according to his will. Thirdly, in full assurance of faith, a double-minded man receives nothing of the Lord. I mean, if you come and you're praying and you don't believe the Lord, you've got a right to come before the Lord and to expect the Lord to move on your behalf. Friends, what's the point of asking it? I mean, if you know you're going to go to somebody, ask somebody for a loan, whatever it is, they're not going to give it to you, you're not even going to go. I mean, it would be foolishness to go. You must have faith in it. And that's how we need to be in the word. We'll see, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. So, you know, you're praying the promises of God. You're allowing God's word to persuade you of the promises, God to quicken you in certain things. And you bring that back to the Lord now and make claims on the Lord. But he's the one who's led you to do it. And that's really powerful prayer. Number four, it must obviously be in the name of Jesus. Mustn't be in any other name. Prayer must be offered in the name of Jesus, because there's only one mediator between man and God. That's our great high priest, the man Christ Jesus. Our prayers have to pass through his sacred incense to be accepted before the Lord. He's our high priest, standing between sinful men and a holy God. Our prayers must be in the name of Jesus. And finally, we need to learn perseverance in prayer, because there comes times we need perseverance that refuses to be denied, like the woman of Canaan when she came to Jesus with a petition and he answered her not a word. We need to be perseverant. We need the Spirit to teach us to be perseverant in prayer. Know that if you know this is for your glory, Lord, this is not my will, but it's your will. I believe it, Lord. Lord, I believe this is your will. I'm offering it in the name of Jesus. Now you persevere. Yeah, Jesus gave us examples, the unjust judge and so forth. So each and every one of these things we see, friends, in order for us to be taught by the greatest of all teachers, the perfect teacher, Jesus, we need to be true disciples. If we want the true teaching to help us, the teaching on prayer, we need to be true disciples like those disciples who came to Jesus and said, my Lord, teach us how to pray. And a disciple now means you have a teachable spirit. Yeah? You're willing to learn. And if we come before the Lord, each and everyone, no matter who's young, old, new in the faith, old in the faith, if you'd approach the Lord once again and say, Lord, teach me, take me further, take me deeper. I want to be more effective. Friends, I would really say it's a good thing to ask the Lord as we'd finish off to say, Lord, I couldn't come to anybody better to ask. You've given us your Spirit to be our teacher and our guide. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of intercession. Lord, teach me how to pray. Let's bow our heads, saints, as we finish off. Lord Jesus, that is our desire. Lord, teach us how to pray. Oh Lord, Father, we do testify to you that we know not how to pray as we ought so many times. But Lord, we know what it is to be quickened of you. We know what it is to offer fervent, effectual prayer. Lord, we know what it is to pray according to your will. We know what it is to be led of the Spirit of in prayer. We know what the Spirit of supplication, the Spirit of intercession is, and how wonderful to enter into that realm. So I just pray in these broken up words, just in these things that we've said this evening, Lord, that you would be the teacher now, that Father, when my voice is silent, when Lord, people have left this forum, that you would be the one that would stir people up and say, come and seek my face. That Lord, you would be the one, Lord, to bring our young people to their knees in a more real way. That when they kneel by their beds in the morning or kneel by their beds in the night before they would sleep, Lord, that they may come as real disciples to look to you and say, Jesus, Master, teach me how to pray. Teach me, Lord. I want to be effective. I want to be in your hands. I want to be a vessel of honor set aside unto the Master's use. Because, Lord, we have so many needs. We have so many unconverted in our midst, Lord. We have young ones that are sinful, Lord. Father, we have people with sicknesses. We have other needs that we have, material and spiritual, whatever that they'd be, physical. And, Father, how we do need your Spirit, Lord, to quicken your people in intercession, Lord. Even as you said to your disciples, pray ye to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. Lord, you guide us and lead us to pray for your glory, Lord, to pray in submission to your will, to pray in the name of Jesus, to pray, Father, Lord, with the spirit of supplication. And Father, we look to you. Help us, bless this little thought. Continue to guide us, we pray. And as we'd come to a prayer meeting on Friday, Lord, help us, Lord, in our prayer, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you richly, saints. Just before we finish off, anybody, any questions there, saints? Any contributions, questions, thoughts concerning what we're speaking, teach us to pray. We would appreciate any feedback. Is it an ouch or is it a amen?
God bless you. Yes.
Okay.
I only have one now. I've got one question. Yes, you know when we're praying, God bless. How do we know we're sincere about what we're praying for? Because I've been struggling to know if I'm doing it for a want or a need.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Brad. If you approach anybody the wrong way, if you listen to the message, the approach to God, Abraham speaks about that. If you approach a judge the wrong way, you're not going to get favor from a judge. Like if you walk into a courtroom and say, hey, judge, how are you doing? No. But if you approach the judge the right way, if you come with your honor, sir, or, you come whatever that the person says, you approach the things orderly and the right way, and you know the law, you know what your rights are, and you approach it the right way, you're going to get a hearing from the throne. Now, if you want to know if you are praying right, is the Holy Ghost will quicken you in prayer. When you start praying according to the will of God, God will quicken you. God will reward you. You will find that heavenly dimension, the Spirit of God will come down, that heavenly incense, that heavenly fragrance, the sweetness of the Spirit of Christ will come into your prayer. And you will have started stammering and not knowing what to say. You don't really know what to pray about. Then you break into a certain place. You break through. You come to a place, you submit it to the Lord, and you find the Holy Ghost now comes and anoints you. And now burdens come inside of your soul, things you had never even thought of when you went into prayer. And you now coming and praying according to the will of God. It's like the Holy Ghost is leading you now in the things that you should pray. If you're praying just for your wants, good. There's nothing wrong with that. But praying for your needs, if you pray according to the will of God, as you're bringing it before the Lord, you sense it in heavenly places. If your soul is sensitive to spiritual things, you sense you've got a hearing, you've got the ear of the Lord. You can sense that in your soul, there's a quickening. There's a divine reality starts. You start realizing this isn't just me in this room, saying words to a wall or speaking words to the ceiling, but this is Christ. And I've said it so many times before, bro. There's times you get up, you're tired. You think, I'm just going to offer a short prayer. You start getting into prayer, and you start praying for other people, and the Lord lays something on your heart. And then you get into prayer and you realize, hey, when you look, you've been praying for a very big length of time. Yet you never even thought when you went into prayer that day, the way you were feeling it, you'd even pray for 5 minutes, because we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Ghost gives us anointing. He gives us leadership. He quickens us in prayer. And we just have to yield to that. And life comes into your prayer, divine energy. Now it's effective prayer. The anointing of the Holy Ghost comes in. And then you'll start saying, wow. That wasn't me praying. I never even thought to pray those things. You might get up. I remember once getting up. It was a morning. Got up and I started to pray. And there was a young man, Brother George, I'm speaking of, used to live across the other side of the country in the early days when he first came to Ireland. I don't know. I just got such a burden for that young man. And I started praying for that young man. And he wasn't even really in our church, but he used to come once in a while. And then I had such a burden. And I prayed and I prayed until I stopped praying, took my phone, and I phoned that young man straight away. And then he answered the phone and he was a little bit strange. And he said, yes, 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 brother. I said, hey, brother, are you okay? I just wanted to check. I'm okay. I'm okay. I said, that was strange. Why did I feel such a burden for that young man? And then about 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, I can't remember exactly, he phones me back and he said, brother, he said, it was very powerful when you prayed. He says, last night we had the Christmas party for our work, and there was a girl and she really enticed me at the Christmas party. And I went back with her to my apartment, and I was about to do something wrong, and then you phoned. You see,
wow.
That's not you. That's why you need to be sons of God, or led by the Spirit of God. Now, that's not something you're just going to tap into the first day that you're a Christian, but if you are sincere, like an exercise, like I'm saying, and you start to pray, you're going to find the Lord's going to teach you how to yield. The Lord's going to inspire you. The Lord's going to burden you. And if you follow those things through, you'll start learning what is just your emotion. You're going to divide between the soul and the spirit. You're going to learn, okay, that was just my emotion there. No, that was the leadership of the Lord. You're going to start discerning it inside of yourself. So, he's the best teacher, bro. You will know it. When you hit the real thing in prayer, It's simple, but it's real. You'll then be able to discern between, okay, now I'm seeing what real prayer is. That's what I was praying before. I was sincere, but that wasn't really, really prayer.
It wasn't prayer.
It takes one to lead you to the other. We all start, unless you're really prayed up, you know, especially if you've been tired, you've been busy at work, doing your exams, you really want to seek the Lord again. It takes you time to get back into the spirit of prayer when you've been out of it. You're not just going to jump straight back into the spirit of prayer. Like when you haven't been in the spirit and you pick up your Bible and you start reading, you know, it doesn't mean much to you. It doesn't speak much to you. But the more you stay before the Lord and you pray, then it starts opening up. The word starts getting sweet. You start getting anointed. Oh, my. The Lord's feeding your soul. It becomes hidden manna to you. You know, it's like you. And like I'm saying, Brother Chris, if you really want to learn how to pray, team up with others as well. Have a look in the scriptures. How did Daniel pray? Daniel chapter 9. Go and read Nehemiah chapter
9. Daniel chapter 9.
Yes, that's his intercessory prayer. Read Nehemiah chapter 1. Those are the model prayers in the Bible. Go and read, you know, just, you know, search your Bible. Look in your concordance for prayers and have a look. Look at the prayers of David in the Psalms and so forth. God has given us plenty of sweet examples in the Word, and He's given us living examples. I mean, you read in history, we spoke of him about Father Nash, Daniel Nash, who used to go around with Charles Finney, who had a spirit of intercession. And he was the reason Finney's meetings were so powerful. Go and read. It's just a few pages, his life story, but it's powerful. You know, then you have the living epistles now. You're going to find people, God puts them around you. There's people that are very much given to prayer. You know, team up. If you really want to learn how to pray, team up with those kinds of people. Encourage one another. And you learn. You know? It's like any learning. You learn like that.
Thank you, Pastor.
No problem, right? God bless you richly. Anybody else there, saints? Or did we say it all? Or did we say too much? People are saying, I want to get my chicken now. I want my dinner.
Oh, Pastor.
Georgie.
You prayed, you said, this little thought. it's so deep. That's all I wanted to say. Only thing I wanted to say, I like that principle in, you know, prayer is reignited on our knees, and it's just a continual life.
Yeah.
And then you stray away, still you got to go back on your knees again.
Yes.
And you got to get into prayer when you, the whole idea is when you draw, like you said there, you start off rough, then you get back into His presence again.
That's it.
It's like I go on my knees because maybe the pastor preached something against me. And I go on saying, kill him, kill me, Lord, kill me. You see, so as I get into His presence, brother, I realize, woe is me, I'm a man undone, I'm a fool, you know. So it's just that prayer is reignited. It's when you get on your knees and then you realize, hey, by the way, I'm a Christian. I'm a son of God.
I forgot
that's that all I wanted to say, but thank you so much. That was powerful. I can't wait for the rest.
And Brother George, what it is, bro, thanks, bro. What it is, you know, like we said, you cannot, thank you to John Hegarty, put it in the notes there saying, you're so right, using a judge example, you know, approaching things the right way. But on the other hand as well is you learn, if you're in the spirit of judgment, if you have a spirit of criticism on you, it is not the spirit of Christ. When you're looking down on other people and it's so easy to say, that guy, is so evil and all that kind of stuff. When you get in prayer, you get ashamed of yourself because prayer changes you. You start, when you really pray, you start seeing things the way that God does. You start getting into that atmosphere of heaven, not this carnal atmosphere down here. Yeah, and if we would pray about things first, especially critical things, if you need to go and correct somebody on something which is strong or hard or harsh, yeah? If you need to discipline somebody, your children, or even to go and speak something difficult to say, or something controversial, or something that has the potential to cause strife or division, you really need to get into the spirit of intercession first. And then once you've been in prayer, bringing really before the Lord, prayer changes you. Prayer mellows you. It's like a buffer now between you and the environment that you're in. You're in the spirit now. There's the sweetness of the Spirit of Christ. Now you can present that thing right to the person. Now the correction can be far easier, better received. Now the contention, there's a chance for it to be resolved instead of being made worse. You know, if we would do that, but we don't. We allow our emotion to overcome us. Now we're frustrated. How could he have said that about me? First thing we do, we get on the phone. Or first thing we do, you go to that person. How could you have said that about me? Ah, okay. And that person now gets riled up as well. Instead of just having, you know, one person frustrated, you've got double the frustration, now double the anger, and the devil laughs at both of you. And we've learned that, haven't we, since? And we're still learning. But we've learned the best thing to do first is to bring that person before the Lord in prayer. Come and stand with that person shoulder to shoulder, spiritually speaking, in prayer, and speak to the Lord about it. And in that quote there in Great Commission, Brother Ram says, then let the Lord go speaking to you about that person. That's a powerful thing. And then maybe you'll start seeing what they've been through, how the devil twisted them up. Then you'll start saying, oh, I didn't realize there's something about that. I'm condemning them. Yeah, but I didn't realize maybe that person's got one foot in the world and one foot in grace. Yeah, and that strange behavior is a cry for help. And you're going to go there in your militant spirit and you're going to push them into the ditch. Hey, friends, we've all made those mistakes, haven't we? Instead of praying and coming before the Lord concerning that situation. And then when you come before the Lord now, then you start getting a feeling for the person. You start getting a spiritual understanding to say, but Lord, oh, let me find out a little bit more about this first. Then you got to find out that maybe that person's on the edge of suicide. They have suicidal tendencies. That person's given to chronic depression, or maybe it's postnatal depression that a sister's going through. There's always extenuating circumstances. And like we said the other day, you know, the attorney should always, you know, the judge himself, everyone is innocent until proven guilty. The judge should be on the side of the accused until proven otherwise. But friends, we are so quick to accept things. I get people phoning me all the time from around the world wanting to gossip with me about what this person did this and this minister that. Friends, I don't want those things. I don't want to hear what that person did or that person. I don't want that. If I could come into that soundproof place, let the veil drop behind me. Just me and him. Friends, there's far more important things to be putting our spiritual resources into than gossiping about other people or criticizing other people. We have unsaved children in our midst. We have sick people. Is that not far more effective that we could use our time and our energy and our strength to ask the Lord to teach us to pray so we can get into the spirit of intercession to come and bring his spirit down into those situations where his spirit is needed? I would say that your tongue is far better employed speaking to the Lord on behalf of other people rather than speaking against other people. But it's easy to do it because you don't have to be spiritual to gossip. You don't have to be spiritual to criticize. Any carnal person can do that. But for you to forgive, for you to have that spirit, earnest spirit, to pray for your enemies, like Jesus said, not everybody can do that. That's not an easy thing. He says, pray for them that despitefully use you. People that have done things to hurt you intentionally, he says, pray for them. Friends, it's not an easy thing. May the Lord help us. Anybody else there? I can see Brother James wants to ask. Bro, God bless you, bro.
No, you touched on my verse. That's why I spoke.
Yes, bro.
I have in front of me Matthew chapter 5, you know, pray for them that despitefully use you.
Amen, bro. Yes, bro.
And I've learned a lot, Pastor, from, you know, our prophet speaking about that boy and girl in the seventh. And to me, it also comes in your prayer life, because the Bible says when you pray, forgive.
That's right. Absolutely. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven.
But most of the time we get so emotional. We are in the flesh. We go to approach God in the flesh, and then we wonder why he doesn't answer.
True, bro.
I had a situation in work where my boss would put me under serious, serious pressure, you know, and I would go before the Lord, you know, justify that, hey, let fire come from heaven. and nothing, that prayer is not answered. And Amen. Then one day I just said, hey, you're doing it wrong.
Amen. Bro.
Love this man. Pray for him.
Hallelujah.
And I went to work, I stood at his door and I said, Lord, see today, when this man passes here, let this prayer change his heart. And I prayed for him.
Amen.
That man would not even speak to me, Branandru.
Amen.
But that very day, I said, Lord, if you want to show me a sign, let this man come and speak to me today. And this was about 8 o'clock, half eight or so. Around 3 o'clock, I saw someone peep into my classroom, and that was the boss. And he says, James, hello.
Hi. I said,
how are you, sir?
Yeah.
He says, can I come in? And I said, yeah. He says, are you okay to talk? I said, yeah. He sits down. He starts to have a general conversation with me that he has never done.
Amen.
And I learned my lesson from that day to say, right, here is an answer. For those who say, does God answer your prayer?
They do.
He answers. But sometimes we approach him carnally.
Amen. Absolutely the truth, bro. That's a blessing. Amen. You know, when you just saying it, I had it actually written down in my notes. The example that Brother Branham gives when he was out on the campaigns that time, and he had to go and get a meal, and he went into that little diner, and the policeman was there playing the slot machine against the law, and everyone was doing something wrong, and there was that old lady dressed bad with, you know, two men drinking beer and all that. And he got in the spirit of criticism, remember, and he said, Lord, how can you look at this? Why didn't you just burn this off the earth? And then the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, come around here, I want to speak to you. And he went outside and behind the door, and the Lord showed him that vision and showed him the earth and showed him his sins when he was a sinner, that every sin that he made, it should have gone straight to the throne of God, and he should have been judged and gone to hell. But between his sin and the throne of judgment, there was the blood of Christ. There was the Savior. And like in the vision, when his sin would go to hit against Jesus like a buffer, hit the blood, and Jesus would shake and say, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. And then he started looking and saying, wow, is that my sin? And then the angel of the Lord said to him, you see, I forgave you, but you want to condemn her. And then he got out of the spirit of condemning, and he was now in the spirit of heavenly places, you see. He had been in the right place. Then he went and he sat down with the lady and said, would you mind if I speak to you? And she said, no, look, I already have company. He says, no, I don't mean it like that. He says, I want to speak to you and tell you what just happened to me. And then she said, are you Brother Branham, the one who's having those meetings? She said, me, I'm a backslidden Methodist. I was going to come to the meetings, but I felt ashamed of myself because I got away from the Lord. I thought there's no hope for me. And they got down there on their knees in the diner. And he led the lady back to Christ, and the policeman took off his hat. Other people got on their knees. Yeah, and I really learned from that, brother, that we all are very apt and prone to call fire from heaven upon this generation. But if we could get into heavenly places, I mean, Jesus wept over Jerusalem, even though they'd rejected him. He wept over them. And I thought of it. I said, hey, Lord, sometimes it's not that, like we've said in church, that men's hearts are hard these days. Sometimes it's our hearts are hard. We're telling people about Christ with hard hearts. The Bible says, he who goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, I said, hey, Lord, if you could help us to get into that realm more, to feel more what you feel in heaven towards people, then we'd be a better reflection of heaven in the witness that we are towards people. And we'd be far more fruitful in the witness and in our dealings with sinners, backsliders, you know, whatever that it is, with contentious people. But like you're saying, bro, we really do need the grace of God on that one. Just to say to the saints, I think some of the saints have joined from Nigeria. You're more than welcome today. God bless the saints from Nigeria. Before, Brother Wilmore was doing the meeting and Brother Max on a Thursday, but this year we've joined it all together on a Wednesday, so we do greet them in Jesus' name. Wonderful to see them, each and everyone. If they've got any questions, they can post them there in the comments, or they can get a hold of us, or Brother Max or Brother Wilmore through WhatsApp. We'd be more than happy to answer any questions or to go any direction people want to go concerning this topic. But like I said, like Brother George said, it seems a simple topic, prayer, but we all know this is a very spiritual thing. You know, we all say, look, I know how to pray. I know how to say, our Father art in heaven. Good. But do we really know what our Father which art in heaven really means? We need to get into the spirit of it so we get the results the Lord wanted us to get when we prayed that. Anything final there, saints, before we ask someone to close for us in a word of prayer?
Yeah,
Brother, a quick one.
Brother Tony, God bless you, bro.
Shalom, brother. How are you? A quick one, brother. You know, brother, you know, these things are such amazing things.
Yeah.
What you've been saying. The previous job I was with in St. Andrews, I used to work with the people, you know, the mental health sector and all that.
Yeah.
You know, those people got a spirit on them.
Yes.
And that spirit on them, that is, even when you approach them yourself, if you're not prayed enough, brother, I'm telling you, you can actually see something that's there with them.
Yeah.
And even it made me, when I left, every day I left home, I used to say to myself, dear Lord, I used to kneel down and sometimes just stand, dear Lord, please take me to work and please bring me back the same way I am. And I'm telling you, without a word of a lie, sometimes I would go home, and sometimes when I get home, some of the people, like one night I worked with, people were attacked.
Yeah.
One man lost his ear, the other one lost his teeth.
Right.
No, I was put into one section where it was a 3-1, and I was in there. And that night, the Lord, like he protected me. I don't quite remember if I did pray or not, but I tell you, brother, the Lord protected me. All those other people, some went with holes on their foreheads and all that. Now, that's, I'm looking at what you're saying. Is this a short little thing I want to say?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, prayer is something that protects you.
Absolutely.
And even when you leave, when you're going out, just that small little, dear Lord, please guide me from here to where I'm going to and bring me back safely. You know, yeah. I tell you, it brings a lot. Like the job I've learned a lot. And just a small little thing I want to say to you. There's one day I prayed and I went and I sat down and I was reading a Bible. I used to keep a Bible, small Bible in my trousers. And this guy, this patient used to be, used to have like seizures and all that. And I was talking to him and I started reading the Bible. He looked at me and he said to me, do you read the Bible? And I said, yeah. He says, who is it? He asked me, who is Jesus? And I started to explain to him. And he got interested, but I couldn't take it too further because I would have lost my job, you see.
Yeah.
So I just told him a little bit of it, you know, a little bit of it. Then he says, can you get me a Bible? I said, no, I'll see what I can do. That was it. I went to the office. I got the office one and I gave it to him. Because the moment you say something more than that, you're gone.
And the best thing you can do for people like that, Tony, is to pray. I mean, because it's a spiritual dimension, you know, it is. And what you're saying, Tony, is so true. The Bible says, is any afflicted, let him pray. You know, like if you're afflicted, if you've got trials, temptations, Jesus, the temptation in the wilderness, he overcame it by prayer.
Amen. Amen.
The prayer, and like the message Brian Max Jr. preached on New Year's.
Yeah. Yes.
The prayer gives you the spirit of discernment to discern between what's of Christ and what's not of Christ.
Yes.
The spirit of Christ and the spirit of Antichrist. You say, oh, okay. No, that's really prayer puts you in, your soul gets like, sensitized again to spiritual things. You're breaking up the fallow ground, that hardness, that dullness, you know, that like foolishness that you've been thinking, and the hardness of your heart. And you're coming now, and it's like the oil and the wine is bathing down and softening your heart, and you feel sensitive to spiritual things again. You find, like Brother George was saying it that day, you find people when they're really in the spirit, you know, when they start speaking and something spiritual happens, you'll find tears quickly come out of their eyes.
Amen.
You know, they're like in the real soft sort of place. They're a reflection of heavenly places now. Mm-hmm. Because in heavenly places, he's not the judge now. He's not there sitting there saying, I want all those sinners to die.
No, but
he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If we could be a better reflection of who he is, we'd get more results that he wants us to get. And the key to that, you can't read yourself into the spirit. No. You can't. No, that's good. Knowledge is good. But you need agape. You know, knowledge puffs up. You need the spirit. You need fellowship with him. You need to see things the way he sees things. You need him, the power of transformation, to change the way that you feel, to change the way that you think. And that doesn't come just by, you know, sitting on YouTube. That comes by getting on your knees with a sincere heart and saying, please, Lord, I want to be more like you. I'm working with these people, but I haven't borne good witness of you. Lord, I can't bear record of you when I'm carnal like this. Lord, help me. Help, like Nehemiah chapter 1, he first spends 2-3 months before the Lord, before he goes and speaks to man, before he goes to the king. You see? So, you know, I think really that's a very, very important principle, that like Jacob had to first wrestle and prevail with God Then he went and faced up to east when he prevailed with man. I think it's a very, very important principle to...
Pastor.
Yes, bro.
And last thing, there's neither age restriction.
Absolutely.
And there's neither masculine or feminine. It's amen. To all. Absolutely. That's all I want to say. Thank you, sir.
Amen, 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 bro. That's the truth. So God bless, saints. I think we'll finish up there, saints. Good to see Jade there. God bless you, sister. Trust that you're keeping well as well. God bless. And each and everyone who's joined this evening, we'll ask Brother George to pray for us, please, as we'd finish. And like I'm saying, friends, the best way to learn about prayer is to pray with a sincere heart, and the Lord will start teaching. And then you start applying the principles. And the more you pray, the more you will learn how to pray. The more you'll get in the spirit of prayer. And it's the sweetest and greatest of spiritual things that you can do, is to come into the Spirit of God through prayer. Then once you prayed like that, then you open your Bible, God is going to speak to you because you're already in fellowship and connection with him. It's so easy for him now to reveal himself in his word. You know, so may the Lord richly bless us until we meet again. Brother George, you pray first, please, brother.
Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this topic that you've brought to us tonight. Father, it's just a sheer indication that, Lord, I need more of prayer. I need to learn to pray. I need to, Lord, Father, take even these principles spoken tonight and apply them amidst my life. For, Lord, precious Savior, if, Lord, Father, we were standing, Lord, precious Savior, before that ill-famed woman, Lord, Father, we could not cast a stone pertaining prayer because we are all short and we need to pray. We need to learn to pray. We need to learn, Lord, Father, oh God, that we are not speaking, Lord, to some, Lord, Father, person in the ceiling, but we are speaking to the Most High God that dwelleth, Lord, Father, beyond, Lord, Father, this realm that, Lord, Father, we, Lord, Savior, dwell amidst, oh God. And Lord, every time that, Lord, Father, we shut ourselves in with thee, Father, we see the miraculous, oh God. Amen. And Lord, prayer is not a thing that, Lord, Father, the pastor read in Matthew, Lord, where it speaks, it's not a public show. It's private, Lord. It's personal. Lord, Father, it's communication between, Lord, the individual and his maker. Amen. Father, Lord, and when we come before thee in prayer, Lord, it makes us to realize that we are sinners. Lord, amen. Father, we are dust. We are, Lord, Father, just nothing, oh God. And we need more of thee, oh God. Yes. Help us, oh God, that, Lord, if we would pray and stay in that presence, Father, even our children would desire to be in that presence. Even, Lord, Father, people that are with us would desire that presence, oh God, wherever we go. Father, our lives secretly would, Lord, Father, vindicate the life of Christ. Amen. Bless, Lord, Father, your son, the speaker tonight, our pastor, Lord, precious Savior. Why did he take this topic? Because you put it upon his heart. Lord, we trust that as we go through this, Lord, may we come out, Lord, stronger, Lord, and may we come out
amen.
Bolder in prayer. May we come out, Lord, with confidence, Lord. May we come out as victors, oh God. And Lord, may we come out saying, woe is me. I'm a man undone. Amen. Lord, Father, I'm a sinner, Lord, and I need more of thee, oh God. Yes. We thank you. We love you. And we commit this night before thee. Bless all that I've heard. And Lord, when we come again, may we be prepared. May we take this weapon, prayer, and exercise it, O God. And amen. Come before thee, O God. And speak oft with thee, O God. As our brother Eli said, Lord, Lord, if we could pray 5 minutes every hour, Lord, in a day, we would pray many minutes, O God. Amen. Help us to start exercising, Lord, not watching videos of prayer, but exercising it, O God. For amen. You are waiting and longing, Lord. The heavens are just free. Lord, there's much, Lord, Savior, Father, oh God, Lord, bandwidth for us to reach out even into the heavenlies, Lord, and speak with thee, oh God. You're longing for us, oh God. We bless your name. Now, when we switch off here, help us to switch on with thee, oh God. Amen. We thank you. We love you. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother George. God bless Sister Joby. Did you want to say something there, Sister? I saw your hands raised up. God bless you.
I wanted to say something, but I'm back on the road now. And it's a bit noisy. I just wanted to say that, in terms of prayers, I joined the meeting really late. And I would have loved... of if you recapped, but there was no time, I understand. But I was going to ask, you know, when praying, there is a pattern a lot of us follow, which would be like a basic or general pattern. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I find myself diverted. So I was hoping that you just talk a little bit more about praying in terms of meditation.
Yes.
You know, when you go on your knees, you start in a certain pattern, and before you know it, you've digressed, and it feels like you're having a conversation with God.
Yes.
You're telling him how your day went and how you're not, you know, happy with certain things. On the other note, I know, you know, the Word of God tells us that God knows, you know, what we need even before we ask. So Absolutely. Why do we waste time asking God? We want this, we want that, we're going for this interview, we want to, you know, have a good result. Why do we indulge in things like that? Why do we not, like Brother James was saying earlier, we should be praying for people, like you preached as well.
Yeah.
That we should spend our time praying for things that, you know, we don't need, really, because what we need, the Lord knows that already.
What you're saying there is absolutely, because it says about Job. I mean, we were going to speak about Job sometime, but it says that the Lord healed Job when he prayed for his friends, and that is really a key. You know, I like what one brother said. It was Brother Jeannot from down in Limerick, and he said, brother, I feel really ashamed and embarrassed to come before the Lord to pray, to say, please, Lord, can you find me a wife? He said, when there's so many sinners out there in Limerick that haven't even got salvation, he said, rather let me spend my time praying for the sinner and going and reach, and the Lord will take care of the rest. Seek you first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added. And your point is very good. Concerning that one of like the pattern of prayer, we'll get into it next time, sister, because we read the first verse, Lord, teach us how to pray. Then Jesus teaches them now, you know, our Father, that he teaches what the necessary parts of prayer are. And we mustn't say like a fixed formula of prayer, but Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, he's giving us now the framework now of what real spiritual prayer comprises of. So that's very good what you've said, Sister Will. We'll try to get on to that next time.
Yeah, I love to be in that meeting because, you know, I really love this part of, you know, I love prayer, as you know.
Hallelujah.
And I really like to get a lot more enlightened about it. Yes. Just to know, yeah.
No problems. If you don't get it on YouTube. If you just go and search
Dublin
Fellowship, you'll find it on there.
God bless you, everyone.
Have a good night, saints. Have a good weekend. We'll meet Friday or we meet next week, Sister Roseanne. God bless. Happy New Year to you as well, Sister Grace. Good to see you there. God bless you, Brother Eli and saints there. God bless you richly. The Zimas, God bless. Sister Priya and the good sisters there. God bless. So good to see you. I wanted to give you guys a call tomorrow, so I'll give you a call tomorrow. God bless, saints. Brother Wilmore and them all there. God bless their house, Sister Nicoletta. God bless you, Brad Clayton.
Good night, Sister Priya and the twins. The triplets.
God bless.
God bless you. Bye.
Good night. God bless.
Bye. Sister Trudy. Bye bye.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye. Bye. God bless. Bye, Ken. See you, brother. And
God bless you.
God bless you, my good man. Good to see you there.
Thank you very much.
Claire as well. God bless you. God bless.